This is Earth Files, the award-winning news site with the latest updates in science, environment, and real X-Files. Podcasting in-depth reports beyond the 6 o'clock news by Emmy Award-winning journalist Linda Moulton Howe.
Recently, in my Earth Files mail, I received a 4-page typed and very well-written letter from a successful attorney living and working on the West Coast. For more than 3 decades, this man, whom I will call John Smith, to honor his request for anonymity, has kept secret his interactions with a non-human intelligence. First, he trusted them, but he now worries that the agenda of the particular type he has encountered is to manipulate and suppress humans. Attorney Smith's abduction experiences have included being taken right through a wall, examinations by non-humans of his head and genitals, and visions of an apocalyptic Earth future. Guiding Attorney Smith through his experiences was a telepathic voice that entered his life with winning raffle tickets and other inside information that convinced John Smith that he was being given special protection by extraterrestrial or other dimensional intelligences. He's not even sure. Attorney Smith is now 57 years old and says his first memories of high strangeness go back to odd, repeating dreams he began having around age 25.
They sort of centered around an awareness of entities around me, and I would become literally paralyzed in my bed and feel this extraordinary pressure that had a sound associated with it that was really quite disturbing.
Could you please be detailed about where you felt the pressure physically and perhaps try to mimic the sound?
The sound would be a very powerful thrumming, as if we had very powerful sound amplifiers. Not like a 60-cycle hum, but we're getting close in saying that.
Do you mean that it was something going like,
Yeah, something like that, but increasing in intensity. And I was aware that these entities were having communication between themselves, saying things like, well, we're not in yet, wonder if we can get in. That, for some reason, registered my awareness.
And where did you feel the pressure?
In my head.
Was it around your entire head, or was it a band, or where?
I would say it was the back of my head towards the bottom of the skull, at the base of the skull.
What would be the earliest age, and what do you remember consciously happening?
At that time, I think I'm in my late 20s. Out of that time period, really, that's all I recall. And I recall that my wife at that time would be awakened by my noises afterwards and be quite startled, and apparently she was out too until I came out of whatever.
And would your noises be screams or other sounds?
Yeah, she described my sounds as being terrified, muffled screams.
And did you have any recall consciously or the residue in dreams after about anything specifically happening between you and non-human-looking entities?
Not during that first episode. I certainly have more precise recall from later episodes.
Well, then let's jump to what you remember as the most vivid in which you had conscious memory, and what age would that have been?
Well, now we're probably fast-forwarding maybe another 10 years, and that took place after I moved from one house in the area that I lived to another. It was just a very lively house. But little did I know that it, for some reason, seemed to be far more open. I've been questioning since whether certain areas on the planet are just more portals to this interdimensional activity. From the time I moved into that house, then the visitations became more frequent, far more intense, and I was far more prone to have some recall on it. The typical thing that would happen would be nighttime. There might be some events preceding it, like my animals getting a little bit out of control. I had some motion-sensitive security lights outside my house, and they would flash on and off, and I'd go to the windows, nothing there, and finally, for some reason, I'm asleep or think I am. And then I would see clearly alien presences, nothing that I've ever seen on this earth. Believe me, when it happens to you, it's absolutely startling, terrifying. something that you have to live through to appreciate, but usually there would be two different types of beings, a taller variety and then a shorter variety. And following my awareness of their presence, I would literally be pulled straight through my bedroom wall and directly up into a spacecraft.
Now, before we go into the craft, could you paint word pictures of the taller one and the shorter one?
The taller ones were thinner. They tended to be lighter in color. The shorter ones were darker in color and quite a bit shorter, maybe 3 feet tall, something on that order. And the taller ones tended to be much lighter in color, almost a shiny appearance. The darker, shorter ones, hard to make out much detail.
Some people have had the impression of metallic coating in some entities. Can you describe, when you say shiny, color and texture on the taller ones?
I would have to say it was kind of a silvery sort of appearance.
How tall were the taller ones?
They were 5 to 6 feet tall.
And do you remember any kind of clothing at all?
The shorter ones seemed to have some kind of clothing, but I would be speculating on its nature other than it seemed foreign to me.
And the tall ones then, in their silvery shininess, did you have any sense of clothing of any kind or completely nude from our point of view?
I would tend to think it's the latter case, Linda. It seemed to me that it was either a one-piece kind of arrangement or maybe their natural state.
How thin in comparison to a human body?
Much thinner, quite thin.
Okay, let's go back in the room preceding going through the wall, and can you describe this in detail and continue on into wherever you end up?
What struck me is the suddenness of the event of being pulled directly through the wall. It was as if the wall just did not exist. My bed was located directly below an exterior window, and I would be pulled not through the window, but directly through the wall and immediately up into the spacecraft. And I cannot tell you how far the spacecraft was above my home. And frankly, Linda, I can't even tell you if it was in the same dimension, whether it was in some degree almost as if being pulled into another dimension.
Can you elaborate on that? This is the second time you've said that these might be other dimensional rather than extraterrestrial biological entities from inside this galaxy or someplace.
You know, that's just been my sense. I couldn't defend it scientifically. I just have a settled impression that they may simply do one of two things. Either they are literally from another dimension, or their mode of travel incorporates interdimensional aspects, much as science postulates that we could go in a black hole and come out the other end somewhere. And that may account for the fact that essentially someone winks in and out of existence at one point into another. So whether they are entirely in another dimension, I can't tell you, but I certainly can say it's been my direct experience that they are very, very capable of moving through space-time in ways that we don't understand and I would associate with having mastery of the ability to go from one form into another. But my impression at that moment was that the journey from my bedroom to the spacecraft was rather quick, and there was not a lot of sensation of floating for a long period of time on my way up. It was boom, gone. And the next thing I knew, I was on a very, very cold metallic table within an alien craft. I doubt very much whether it was of terrestrial origin at all. I was then subjected to a number of procedures.
Now, why do you say that it was definitely not terrestrial and very alien, this craft?
Because the aliens were there. So that's tip-off number one. Tip-off number two is the equipment does not resemble any medical equipment that I've ever seen, and some of my best friends are doctors. It resembles absolutely nothing that I've ever seen here.
Can you give some word pictures of what you remember the most?
Yeah, I remember being absolutely terrified, and I remember being probed with long, thin probes and they seem to be interested in different areas of the body. First, they seem to continually want to focus on the neck area and also on the genitals. And occasionally when I would come back, I would actually have physical markings in those areas, which I took pictures of.
And what were the marks that were left on you and your head and on your genitals?
They would be like red pinhole type markings. Other than that, there was no physical injury or trauma, although I do believe in the genital area, I think I actually had an injury that has caused me some difficulty over the years.
Were the pinpoint red marks in any kind of pattern?
Yeah. The pattern that I recall most commonly was 2 points separated by about, I would guess, 1/2 inch to 3/4 inch.
What was around you that you remember doing these examinations?
Yeah, that's another startling and terrifying aspect of this, is that there seemed to be others there in the spacecraft, and maybe the most appalling memory is of seeing row upon row of people hanging, much like on meat hooks, appearing not to be conscious.
Believe it or not, I've heard that description before from a woman in Michigan. Were these people hanging by skin or by their clothes?
I thought it was by skin. I don't know why I'm saying that. I obviously didn't go over and investigate. It didn't look like a comfortable position.
Did those that were hanging by something that was holding them up on some kind of hook or instrument, did they all look human, or was there a mixture of human and non-human?
Of what I saw, because they were not reactive, they were either in a coma or non-responsive for some reason or another, I don't know that they were actually what we would call human. To me, human means an embodied soul, a conscious soul. These seem to be, this is just a subtle perception I can't shake, that they were just holding vessels. But even though they appeared to be human, there was something really off there.
And others have suggested that we are dealing with one or more intelligences that have a cloning technology that creates containers that look human, but are used to be occupied by the intelligences that make them.
That could certainly fit in here. That is consistent with what I saw.
Do you remember any kind of telepathic communication by any of them to you?
Not at that time.
Later, what happened?
Well, later I started to get the telepathic connection. I suppose in hindsight that came out of, I think they left implants of some type in my head area. And that seemed to facilitate a telepathic connection.
And what do you remember about content?
I thought I was, in hindsight, absolutely seduced by these entities. And not in a sexual sense. This was in the sense of utterly and completely being subjected to a program that stripped me of my free will and essentially turned me into a robotic controlled entity that would have done their bidding. And I need to back up here and give you a little bit more. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Mm-hmm.
But they started off by just having this voice appear in my head. You know, I'm a competent professional. I'm not used to hearing voices in my head. This was something new to me. But I remember distinctly the first time they would begin to feed me information. I was a member of our local Rotary Club in the city I lived in at that time, and the voice said, well, go buy a raffle ticket, and tonight you're going to win. Just buy one ticket. Only need to buy one, and you'll win. And sure enough, I did, and that got my attention. And I was going, boy, how can this voice do this type of thing? And it would just be a progression of those types of insertions into my reality, where they began to, almost as if reading into my thoughts as to my philosophy and my own motivations in life, which at that time and still are around a passionate desire to do good for our humanity and for the environment of our planet. And I have taken a lot of my professional life in that direction. So the thoughts that they would put in my head were those around, well, we can really help the planet by doing X, Y, and Z. we need to do this or that other thing, and when that would be completed, good things seemed to happen thereafter. So I became more and more convinced that what I was dealing with, in spite of my recall of the rather unpleasant abduction experiences, I thought maybe I was dealing with different ones or whatever, but I began to trust this voice implicitly.
And in that trust, what did you think that you were trusting?
I honestly can't say that I knew. All I know is that I felt that it was not my own mind. It was an alien intelligence, and not in the sense of knowing that it was a gray or any other label for what kind of alien intelligence it was. It was merely alien to a human intelligence and seemed to have spiritual wisdom about it, which in hindsight I think was the ultimate seduction in believing that I was dealing with a benign and benevolent spiritual voice.
And what convinced you otherwise?
Well, what convinced me otherwise, after many, many of these experiences and doing many errands on behalf of whatever this entity was, I had occasion to want to try to get some help for my father, who was quite ill, and I was interested in alternative energetic healing. I got to know one rather well-known healer, and I called him and said, would you work on my father? And he agreed to. And after doing a remote telephonic session during which he absolutely convinced me of his prowess by proceeding to describe exactly where I was living, all the surroundings of my house, extraordinarily accurately, then tuned into my father and just told me straight out he was closed and that there was nothing that could be done for him. He just wasn't open to it, and he then suggested that we use the balance of the time I had paid for to work on myself. And within the first minute or two, he said, well, what do you think about ETs? And came out and said, you have implants and you need to have them removed. I thought about that for a second because I had an ego attachment to being able to channel this voice, and from time to time I had dazzled my friends and acquaintances with being able to connect them with actual sightings of spacecraft. So I was a little reluctant to let go of that connection. Nonetheless, it felt like the right thing to do, something I knew I had to do, and so I agreed to have the implants removed. So this gentleman, quite adeptly, through a process that lasted 10 or 15 minutes, pulled out the interdimensional energetic connections, however you want to visualize those, and they were gone. And it changed my world, absolutely put me on the floor. I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say my world looked completely different to me.
What was the biggest change to you?
Well, you know, I suppose in a word, freedom. And I guess this gets to the heart of what really gets me now about that experience, is they hijacked my free will. And I don't take kindly to that. I believe in our country's founding principles. I think they were brilliant at the time, and they're brilliant now. You've got individual liberty, and to take that away from anyone is not a good thing to do. We value, as a nation, I think, freedom and individual liberty, and here these entities had taken away mine and hijacked my free will through this process that I'm calling a seduction. That's not nice. So it got back to regaining that sense of myself as an individual.
And the quid pro quo on that seduction was giving you information through your mind that could win raffle tickets, could predict the future, and all of that.
Yeah, it came with a number of psychic gifts, and in hindsight, I mean, they really designed it to feed the ego, which I suppose is the ultimate seductress. Yeah, they really got me.
And the loss of freedom is that if you are seduced by what you consider to be higher knowledge, insider knowledge that only you have, then you begin giving over to that voice, and you stop thinking for yourself, correct?
Yeah, and what's especially disturbing to me in hindsight is I would have done anything for that voice. I mean, if they would have said, walk out in front of a truck, I mean, I don't know that I would have thought twice about it.
And how do you think that this experience of yours, becoming conscious that you have been seduced, that you have lost essentially your sense of self and free will. How do you think that your experience relates to all of the other thousands of human abductions around the world?
Well, I guess the short answer is I don't know, but I have a strong suspicion that what I went through was not an isolated event. That, yes, there are many, many people who are also implanted and who are controlled to varying degrees. And that really causes me great concern. I'm not sure why they pick the people that they do, but clearly many of the people that they pick are either in positions of power or influence, or have what I would say would be spiritual inclinations, a great deal of subtle perception capability, deep sensitivity. I suspect what we may be facing is an attempt by these entities to suppress humanity as a species and to keep us from our birthright, to keep us from our own spiritual and physical evolution into the next stage of our development. I mean, I'm struck by some of the ancient Mesopotamian texts that others have written about, where, was it Enlil and Enki, for example, there had been an effort to genetically create useful beings, and then when the brother came back and found that, he made every effort to begin to suppress it. And I think since that very, very ancient time, perhaps we just have an extension of that battle for those reaching for the Garden of Eden and those who want us kicked out. There are those who I think are intentionally finding key people to suppress.
What is the reason to suppress?
From some of my other contacts, I think they're scared of us and scared of what we could do. I think somehow it threatens somebody's power structure, and that's just an intuition. I really don't know it.
There's a great irony if, in fact, Homo sapiens sapiens as a species was set in motion by the Anunnaki, as described in Sumerian text, and then turned around and was threatened by that which it had made.
Yeah, that is ironic, isn't it?
What do the suppressors want?
I can only speculate that it's power. Power over what and for what purpose, I'd only be speculating.
Well, you are the one who had interactions with them. What do you intuitively feel?
I think it's been a pretty good deal for the suppressors so far. I think they use us for certainly our genetic material, I can say firsthand. But I think beyond that, there is a possibility that they sort of symbiotically, well, that may be not the right word, it's as if they can use us to experience our vast capacity for emotional and heartfelt experience that is more foreign to them, and that they can experience that vicariously through us.
Do you have any idea how they do that?
No, I really don't know the mechanisms other than what I've directly experienced and described to you.
The seduction and then using the human in a way that becomes the entity's puppet or pawn or that which they are operating through?
Yeah, I was certainly aware that they were able to experience my experience. Communication was obviously telepathic and I suspect almost holographic, in the sense that they could, much like we might turn the channel on a television, switch from one implanted human being to another and enjoy the show.
Almost like humans were their CDs.
Yeah, CD-ROMs. I mean, they're interactive, you know. They can almost make it to order.
Others in the abduction syndrome have suggested a sense of something like this, that there is something about this species that is being used, you could say, as recording devices, playback devices, and it makes the intelligence that is trying to use us, manipulate us, harvest us, and maybe created us that much more hauntingly strange to me, and I would like to understand who they are, what they really want, and where they're from.
Me too. I think there is a collusion between certain arms of our government and alien intelligence that goes along with whatever their master plan is, that there's some quid pro quo here that I don't understand. But there's clearly some kind of marriage that's been arranged here that both sides see some benefit in. But I don't think it's good for humanity, and I don't like all of the silence and secrecy around it.
Have you ever been shown a screen in a craft or in a dream, any three-dimensional holographic kind of images that were projected as being the future of this planet?
Yeah, they used to play those for me. They tended to show sort of an apocalyptic version of our future unless we changed. Part of that seduced me into wanting to help them, or at least the ones I was dealing with. Obviously, there may be some that are truly benevolent dealing with this and some that are not. The ones that I was dealing with, I think in hindsight, clearly were not. But they did show me visions of the future, and it was not going to be an easy time.
And what are some of the details that you remember?
An environmental disaster of absolutely monumental proportions, where the Earth became completely out of balance, one apocalyptic vision after another.
But what were in those apocalyptic visions?
What's coming up for me is one that has the Earth shrouded in this dense sort of smoke. It's almost an unlivable sort of atmosphere that's been left. And most of humanity has succumbed to whatever has been unleashed. I don't get the sense it's, you know, the World War III atomic kind of cataclysm that some might think, but something is altered fundamentally in our environmental balance that cascades out of control and creates something that is no longer very user-friendly for we carbon-based life forms.
Was there anything about the sun's interaction with the planet and the solar system?
Not in those screenings, although I do think the sun is absolutely crucial here, and not only the connection with our sun, but the connection of our sun with other suns as well. And I think that one of the visions that I had was of something I'm calling the cosmic webbing, where there is a webbing of energetic connection between our suns and all of the other suns in the Milky Way, and a particular connection with the galactic center. And those energies modulate activity here on Earth to a much greater degree than I think science presently recognizes.
Could you address what seems to me to be a huge contradiction? And I have encountered this in discussions with so many people in the abduction syndrome. Visions of a future that is apocalyptic are shown by a variety of different types of non-humans. And in some cases, the humans are impassioned for the rest of their life to try to help the Earth, as you were. But in your case, you come to feel that the intelligence that was once showing you these images and that once was guiding you is seducing you and taking over your free will. And yet, if the planet is on a course of destruction because of what humans do, why would these beings not interfere directly?
It's a good question, and one that I thought about as well. I really don't know, but it seems to me that whether they're doing it purposefully or not, I don't know. But one suspects there are forces at work here that are very much at war with each other, or at least, you know, that's the theme that I kind of came away with. That there are those who, yes, would and are intervening on behalf of our environment and on behalf of humanity, and those who are intervening on behalf of the suppressive forces, as I've called them.
And if the suppressive forces want genetic harvest and the use of containers, wouldn't it be in their interests in guiding humanity to protecting the planet, not allowing it to be destroyed?
Yes, if that were truly their motivation. But let's say that we're coming into a time period where it is no longer possible for them to continue their activities. Let's just say that we're coming into a period of time, and maybe 2012 means something, maybe it doesn't. But let's say we're coming into a time where it's inevitable that mankind will come into its own, where their actions will no longer be able to be successful. We will see through them as our awareness grows. they won't be able to get through. They won't be able to mess with us.
And what you're implying is that apocalyptic visions on screens inside of the disc technology would be lies and deceptions to try.
That was my sense. I mean, it's this psycho-spiritual rap that they have that was incredibly seductive to me, and I know many, many others. But it's just for the purposes of getting you to play along through these changes and to help them prolong the time that they have power. And, you know, whether you're an anthropologist or a political scientist, you're going to say, what's the primary motivator once you get past survival? Well, it's the acquisition and use of power.
And so what you mean is that if the non-human entities over 50 years at least I've been showing human beings three-dimensional scenes of this planet that humans interpret as catastrophic and cause fear about the future, that the intelligences are then using fear to control humans?
Yes, absolutely. I don't understand it, but one suspects, yes, there is that agenda at work to increasingly cause waves of disturbance to throw us off.
Thanks for listening to this Earth Files podcast from the edges of science, environment, and real X-Files. Go to www.earthfiles.com to see more than 1,000 Earth Files reports with photographs, drawings, and documents. And visit Earth Files every day, every week, for new reports and new podcasts. That's www.earthfiles.com.